Connecticut law says no one person or chief or leader can give away any special objects or sacred objects of the clan, unless the whole clan says they can.
Southeast Alaska sees the return of some long-lost Native artifacts and more than $12,000 to Chilkat Valley projects. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news up next. Sacred Native items are being returned to rightful owners in Southeast Alaska following a federal advisory panel's decision in past weeks. The Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act Review Committee decided unanimously that the Alaska State Museum and the University of Pennsylvania Museum did not have the right of possession to over 50 sacred and patrimonial items from the Tiyihatan and Tekdiantan clans.
Tlingit law says no one person or chief or leader can give away any special objects or sacred objects of the clan, unless the whole clan says they can. And it would have to be in a certain council meeting before they can do that. They'd all have to agree, and then they can probably go that way.
Richard Reinhardt, Sr. is the leader of the Tiyihatan clan in Wrangell and the caretaker of a sacred clan hat that was on display at the Alaska State Museum since the 1940s. He says his uncle, William Paul, Sr., loaned that hat to the museum. The museum later claimed that he donated the hat. Reinhardt says he knew his uncle didn't agree to the transaction.
He did a lot of things for people, a lot of things. But when it comes to some things like this, he knew the Tlingit law. And we don't believe, if he was alive today, that he had let this go by like they're trying to make it. You know, that he really did give it to him.
The sacred hat is now at the Nolan Center. He says the legal battle with the Alaska State Museum may not be over, despite the decision.
If they fight us in court or in any hearing, in Juneau or wherever they'd want to put it, we'd have to go to court with them. But they'd have a real weak case because it's already passed in Washington. And they went through a lot of procedure, and it took a lot of time for everybody, even our lawyer.
The decision also favored the Tekdiantan clan of Huna. The Snail House subdivision of the clan was seeking 50 objects from the University of Pennsylvania Museum. The items were sold to a collector at the museum in the 1920s for $500. In similar news, an anonymous donor who wanted his collection of Native cultural objects to go home has given 18 pieces that date at least to the early 1900s to Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, or SHI. The collection includes some very important ceremonial pieces, says SHI President Rosita Worrell.
I was absolutely stunned at the collection. I did not know that it would have these very significant pieces, a clan hat, three rattles, very magnificent pieces.
The Institute was not able to obtain provenance on the pieces, but the hat may be a couple of hundred years old. The only piece that has a date on it is a very unusual wall hanging, apparently made of ducks with beading, that reads Sitka 1909. The donor was from Michigan and gave the collection to a Native woman in the lower 48 with instructions to send it home to the Native people of Southeast Alaska, Worrell said.
We have absolutely no information other than what the collector said, that it was from Southeast Alaska, they were Tlingit objects, and that he wanted them to be returned home.
It's unusual for private donors to return objects to Native people when such collections often fetch large sums of money at auction. The objects, especially the ceremonial pieces, are important to Native people and are considered to be much more than art, said Worrell.
It's a real tangible tie for us to our ancestors.
Sea Alaska Heritage Institute is a regional nonprofit serving the Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian people of Southeast Alaska.
For the second year in a row, the Chilkat Valley Community Foundation has awarded grants to various nonprofit organizations. This year, the awards tallied over $12,000. Foundation Chair Ann Myron tells us more.
This year, we had $12,282 that was awarded, and that went to 11 different nonprofits in the community. And they include the Alaska Chilkoot Bear Foundation for a recycling container at the Chilkoot State Park. Also, the Haines Venture Scouts to help them on their international high adventure trip to Ecuador. The Friends of the Haynesboro Public Library will be using funding to beautify the area around the totem pole and create a park-like setting. The Haynes Animal Rescue Kennel received funding for DVDs on dog and pet training that will be in the library's collection. The Haynes School 5th grade class received funding to help with their class trip to Juneau. Haynes Friends of Recycling received a grant that is going to be related to building movable recycling stations that will be used at community events like the fair and the bike race and so on. The Chilkat Quan Heritage Center received funding for a hand-carved mobile. Lynn Canal Broadcasting received money for staff training on the digital audio delivery system. SAIL, Southeast Alaska Independent Living, received funding to help with their Haynes Consumer Service Fund for various assistive technologies to help people remain in their homes and in the community. The Haynes Dolphins also received funding from the Call Family Fund for a scholarship program. So all the grantees from last year either have or will be soon filing a final report. And in those reports, they're telling us how they spent the money, what they did, and hopefully sharing with us some of the benefits that they've seen from the projects that we were involved in last year, Tsar. So we're trying to share that information with people in the community so they understand what was done and why it made a difference.
One of the Chilkat Valley Community Foundation's grants was awarded to the Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center in Haynes. Nancy Nash, museum assistant working on the photo archive, explains how the grant will facilitate her work and benefit the community.
And this grant is to enable me to keep working roughly 10 hours a week in the times of the year when I'm not working, seasonally, not in the summer, and to keep going with that photo collection with the goal of having every photo in our collection accessible in our museum data system, which is called Past Perfect. And anyone can come or call. We get a lot of calls from around the world even, and ask for research to be done or come in and do research personally in any of our collections. And so the photo collection has what we would call non-Sheldon photos and the Sheldon collection. The Steve Sheldon and his family, his extended family, including Lib Hacken and his daughter, and through the years had amassed a large collection of photos. All of those basically are done and the data has been compiled on them, and they are scanned, digitally scanned, and in our computer system. But the Sheldon collection is so enormous that for years it's been sorted physically. You could, by topic, you could go in, and any of us, so staff or the public, could come in and say you wanted to see something, some photos, historic photos of Fort Seward. You could go to the Fort Seward file, physically look through them. But you couldn't search in a database, and that's the kind of thing I'm going to be doing and have been doing. There's probably over 3,000 photos in the Sheldon collection, and I and others have done nearly 1,000. Reason that I think that this grant was applied for is it's both to keep the work being done, but also because I'm in kind of a unique position as having lived here, all my adult life. It's, I don't know, at least 36 years in the Chilkat Valley, a little bit longer in Alaska. And I also have a very good, I'm just one of those people who has a good memory for faces and names, and places too. So what I do is not only scan the photo and give it an accession number, I enter search terms and people categories for every photo and try to cross-reference as much as possible. I'm in my early 60s, and I'm probably not going to work forever. This is kind of a person-specific grant in a way that I have the skills to do this because I have been doing this kind of thing at the museum. And then I also, like as I said, have that knowledge of the place and the people. It's I almost feel like a time crunch kind of feeling. I want to do as much as I can while I'm still, able and wanting to work. So I'm very happy that we got the grant, so I'm able to do that. And we've made a huge use of the historic photos during this year of our centennial as an incorporation of the town, for one thing. And it enriches everyone's lives to know more about what went on before us in the valley. And one other thing that this could lead to is there is a historic buildings book that was done in the mid-80s, but it was only, it was also, I think, done with a grant, but it was only done about existing structures, and even a lot of those are gone now. And the museum hopes to compile another historic buildings book that would actually have a template kind of the of maybe by decade or by 25 years of where the buildings were in town and what they were.
Nonprofit organizations serving the community are invited to start thinking about the granting process for 2011. And Myron suggests how Chilkat Valley residents can use these grants for the good of their community.
Think about ways that they can work with the Community Foundation and also some of their other funders to make a project happen that maybe they wouldn't be able to do without that extra revenue. And we're really looking at ways to improve our community and help our nonprofits do their jobs even better than they've been doing, which is they do a great job. But we're hoping that over time we'll be able to really build our fund so that our grant-making capability grows and there'll be more and more money to give out to the nonprofits through this process in the future.
For KHNS News, this is Burn Power.